This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning and Philip C. Now, in half an hour, as always, we have the breakfast grill. Philip C., what's on the docket today?
On the docket is Lulu Chen. She's the author of Influence Empire, Inside the Story of Tencent and China's Tech Ambitions. Now, Tencent may not be so familiar. It may not be a household name for many of us here in Malaysia, but it's extremely popular over in China with many of its apps and solutions, for example, WeChat. But you know, the past 2 years have been cruel for the China tech business because of the clampdown by the Chinese Communist Party. And as we forecast for 2023, we ask whether there will be that renaissance within the China tech industry, or will they become clear establishment, as well as contrasting Pony Ma, the founder of Tencent, versus Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba.
Yeah, so just to put things into perspective, because I'm all about the money, right? So Tencent listed in Hong Kong, I like the ticker, 700HK. Anyway, in the last 5 years, the share price hasn't gone anywhere. It was like 391 Hong Kong dollars. It hit a peak of 706. And today, it is back to 391 Hong Kong dollars at the lowest point, 190 Hong Kong dollars.
But take note that shift from 190 to 300 plus was just in a span of a month.
Yeah, I think that's really when China reopened and the change in government policy, which yes. I'm sure you're going to be talking to Lulu about in about 30 minutes.
We'll stay tuned to that conversation after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. We're going to stick to, I guess, the China scene. And it's fair to say that 2022 was a year that put the entire financial market to the test, especially Asian markets. From decades-high inflation to rapid changing global monetary policies and a surging COVID crisis in China, Hong Kong, Asia's financial center, took a huge hit.
But since the start of 2023, the Hang Seng Index kicked off the year with the most gains they've seen in the first trading session of the year since 2018, up 11%. Now, rising five consecutive weeks, the index has been up more than 8% on a year-to-date basis, making it one of the best performing markets in Asia.
Now, many attribute this to an improved market outlook as China reopens despite a nationwide surge in COVID infections. Now, the rally also came after the Chinese government announced that there will be more fiscal support for markets. But as usual, is this just a temporary relief, or will we see the Hang Seng Index leading recovery in Asian markets?
For some thoughts on this, we have with us Peter Lewis, founder and director of Peter Lewis Consulting. He's also the presenter of Money Talk on Radio Television Hong Kong. Peter, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So what do you make of the Hang Seng rally? Is this strong opening this year due solely to the China reopening?
Well, actually, this rally in the Hang Seng Index goes back to last year, because since the end of October, the Hang Seng's up almost 50% now. So the reopening is certainly one of the reasons. It was anticipated in advance that the zero COVID policy of the Chinese government was unsustainable, and they were going to have to release the restrictions. What surprised everyone was the speed with which it all happened. It just happened very, very quickly at a time when actually cases were increasing, and there doesn't appear to have been much planning for life after zero COVID. But nevertheless, it has given a big boost to markets here in Hong Kong and on the mainland. There's a couple of other reasons as well. There's also a lot of discussion about the relaxation of restrictions on the property sector, and that's been a big headwind to growth over the last couple of years. These three red lines, which really prevent Chinese property developers from raising funds, are rumored to be relaxed. And then also there's the end of the crackdown on the big tech companies like Alibaba, Didi, Tencent, and so on. They've been under investigation by the market regulator for the last couple of years, but the regulator has now indicated that has come to an end. And in fact, we had news yesterday that Chinese app stores can now accept new registrations for Didi Global customers. So it's the combination of those three things that has really boosted the market.
However, does this rally have legs, since there has been constant outflow by institutional funds since the peak of 30,000 points in March 2018?
Yes, but that's been balanced by global funds. Global funds have been the big buyers into this rally. They bought about $9 billion of shares through the Stock Connect schemes, which link the Hong Kong and mainland Chinese markets in just the first 2 weeks of the year. That's the most since 2008. Now, last year, they were heavily underweight in Chinese equities. So they've been catching up and they've taken the view that Chinese shares and Hong Kong shares are quite cheap by global standards, certainly when compared to US and European stocks. And this is a good buying opportunity. So they have been a big driver behind this rally, global institutional funds.
Now, Peter, in the past, the Hong Kong equity market was seen as the gateway to Chinese companies. But do you actually see its relevance diminishing as many investors are buying China exchange stocks directly?
Well, that's the big question. Just how much is Hong Kong going to be the gateway to China, or is, as some people think, is China going to become just another sort of Chinese city? The thing is that there are still a lot of companies in China that want to raise money here in Hong Kong, and there's still a lot of dynamism in Hong Kong. I mean, Hong Kong's known for its optimism and its dynamism. So the beginning of this year is really going to be the first real test since 2020 on whether or not China can continue to be international, or whether it's going to become increasingly under the thumb of Beijing. People are hoping that it will rebound and adapt to the new circumstances. And obviously a key part of that is going to be trade through Hong Kong, which is a gateway to China, has declined substantially last year. If that can rebound, then there is still a lot of optimism and possibilities, positive possibilities for Hong Kong.
If we look at the laggards for the Hang Seng in 2022, it was a combination of property, technology and auto names. Do you see that trend reversing in 2023? Which sectors will see buying interest?
Well, the sectors that people have been buying in this rally have been largely the reopening stocks. So it's things like retail stocks, tourism stocks, Macau casino stocks, the airlines. They've all seen very, very big rebounds from the lows of last year. I would think, though, that what people need to watch very closly are those sectors that the Chinese authorities make central to their policy goals. One of the things they want to do is they want to achieve more tech self-sufficiency, not be reliant on the US. So there are potentials there. The other area is the green sustainable sector. That's a big part of Chinese policy going forward, to be more sustainable, to be greener, to reduce carbon emissions. And as you know, stocks tend in China to be dictated very much by Chinese policy and the goals and the ambitions stated by Beijing. So I think they will be two areas to watch.
Last year was very quiet on the capital markets front, with not many big IPOs. Now, is 2023 going to be a very different story for Hong Kong? And what are some of the big names we should pay attention to?
Well, this has been a disappointing year. Last year was a disappointing year for IPOs in Hong Kong. There was a lot of predictions that there were going to be a lot of companies delisting from the US and they were going to come to Hong Kong. That hasn't really happened. However, you know, Chinese companies do still want to raise money in Hong Kong. They want to raise money in Hong Kong dollars because it's a convertible currency. And also, it puts the proceeds more out of the reach, if you like, of the Chinese authorities. And there are concerns about, you know, how much Chinese companies are going to be cracked down upon by the regulators and by the government in China. So companies do want to raise money here in Hong Kong. So this year is very much a key year as the economy reopens on the mainland and also here in Hong Kong. We've now got the border with China reopening. The high-speed train has started to run again for the first time in 3 years. There is a hope that this will be a good year for IPOs here in Hong Kong.
Lastly, Peter, what are the headwinds and risks that I think we really should be paying attention to for the Hang Seng Index?
Oh, there's lots. There's a lot of worries, a lot of risks to Hong Kong stocks. First of all, we have potentially a global recession. There's been a big contraction in global demand. There's the soaring cost of living overseas, which is also reducing demand for basic goods and leisure goods. We have the ongoing war in Ukraine. We have the crackdown on tech exports, on Chinese tech exports by the US. We have geopolitical tensions between China and the US. All these are risks that have been a concern last year and could well continue to be a concern this year. The World Economic Forum in Davos, which is going on at the moment, they're talking about very much these linked economic threats that could ultimately bring down the global economy. So there is a lot of concern about the state of the global economy, how much interest rates are going to rise this year, and whether that's going to plunge the US and European markets into recession. So plenty of risks to worry about.
Thanks, Peter, for the chat. That was Peter Lewis, founder and director of Peter Lewis Consulting, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees affecting Hong Kong equities in the year to come.
Yeah, so far the winners on a year-to-date basis, Alibaba, Tencent, NetEase, Ping An, Xingyi Solar, BYD Electric Car Company, you know, all these names did very badly in 2021, yeah. 2022, and now they're having a reversal of fortune.
It's interesting because one always associates Hong Kong to the older financial sector, but what you see just now, Shani, as you were mentioning, all these are new economy stocks.
Definitely. I think China is going to be a growth story for 2023.
All right. 7:47 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. And when we come back, we'll discuss the legacy of outgoing New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.